falls on leadership. The number one job of a leader is to define expectations. To establish and maintain a healthy church that reproduces itself, the pastor must go beyond being a preacher and teacher. It's important, we talked about it last night, but it goes beyond that. We need to go beyond being a preacher or a teacher. We need to be a leader as well. We must develop and operate in gifts of leadership that develop and cast vision, raise up other leaders, steward and increase financial resources, develop facilities, innovate ministries that result in discipleship, and do so while deepening the congregation's spiritual life, their spirituality, through knowledge and love for the Word and the presence and moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rather than copy the world's model in which leaders become untouchable, the best biblical leaders increase in humility as they increase in authority and model greater degrees of servant leadership of Jesus. Five best practices. I got two great leaders up here with me. We're jumping in. Kick us off, Pastor Debbie.
All right, the first best practice is push authority and decision-making away and down. Basically, empower other leaders. And I just want to say that you can't empower them until you've equipped them. You need to give them clear vision and mission, the what, the why, and the how. You need to equip them with clear responsibilities and expectations. And then not only do you need to equip them with that, but then you need to release the authority for them to do that. Everything that you've asked them to do, you need to release them and give them authority. But give them clear parameters of what they have authority to do and not to do. I think that the thing is that it needs to be clear and communicated. It can't just be something that you think everybody knows. So make sure you have great conversations before you start to put people in place. I know that the tendency can be that someone is willing and we need a live body to help in that ministry. We're like, great, you're willing. Now go do this. And we don't take the time to really give clear direction and expectations. And so then we just release them and we give them things and then we're disappointed because there wasn't clear expectations. Or we have told them to do this, but then we have not given them the authority to do what we've asked them to do. So you need to give those parameters so that they have creative license within those parameters to have freedom, to take ownership and to just blossom inside of those guidelines. One example for this is that our church is, we talk to the board about giving each department head a certain amount, a budget that they could use for their department without me having to sign off on it. Because I just felt like if I can't trust them with $500, should they really be leading my next generation and be responsible for their spiritual discipleship? And so make sure that you are empowering people that you can trust and that you can release them to that, right? And then also I just want to real quickly say that failure to do this will limit your impact as a pastor. If you have to make every decision, you are going to limit your effectiveness because only one person can only do so much. And if we don't, as pastors, empower others, push decision-making down, then we will be the one that is stunting the growth, not just numerically, but also of growing leaders in our church.
That's really good. Pushing authority and decision-making away and down. I liked what you said about giving authority and not just responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, it's frustrating if you're given a task, but you're not given the authority to go do it. So that's really good. Our second one, be willing to take risks. Be willing to take risks. We should be good at this as Pentecostals, people of faith. We should take risks. I mean, how many of you ever have preached and said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K? We should be doing that. We should be living it. We should take risks. You don't change your city. You don't change your church. You don't change the world unless you take risk. You have to be willing to step out. You have to be willing to do things that are uncomfortable. One of my favorite stories is in 1 Samuel 14, and it talks about how Jonathan and his armor bearer are there, and they're like, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Some of you are ready to preach a whole message on that right now. You've done it before. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. And they go and they move in faith, not knowing for sure if God is with them. And I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just less spiritual than Pastor Roy and Pastor Phil, but there's times where you know without a doubt that the Lord spoke. And then there's times you're just pretty sure. There are times you're like, I think this is what the Lord is saying. And you need to be willing to step into that. There are times where you will never be 100% sure. There are times you need to step out and take that risk, and you will see God move. You want to see God move, you have to step out of the boat. You have to be willing to take risks, to dream, to step out of your comfort zone, and bring people in, the right people into the risk. You know, Jonathan didn't go and say, everybody, this is what I'm doing. He talked to his armor bearer. And I think there's different levels of people that will empower you to take that risk with you and say, I'm with you. And there's other people who will say, we can't do that. And they will stop you from doing what the Spirit is speaking to you. They will hold you back. So take risk and be thoughtful about at what point do these different levels of people know the risk we're taking. I think that's powerful. I think it goes a long way. Being a church planter, risk is our whole life. You know, we had no job, no income, no building, no team, zero. We had a few people who showed up and prayed in our living room. And everything we've always done has been risk-taking. And you might say that's necessary, you're a church plant. I would argue risk is necessary in every stage. If you are small and just starting, you need risk to survive. It's the only way you move forward. If you are growing and stretching, you need risk to keep growing or you will plateau. If you are healthy and thriving, you still need to take risk because otherwise you will make the assumption that the same thing that we've always done will keep working forever, and we know that's not true. There are things that we need to do to continue to take risks. If you're moving backwards, if you've plateaued, if you're shrinking, you need risk to restart and keep moving forward. We need to partner with the Holy Spirit. God, what are you prayerfully and strategically calling us to do? Who can I pray with and dream about? And what is that next practical risk I can take? I know, Pastor Abbott, you've done this too. What are some risks or things you've done?
You know, I've been comfortable with knowing that some things may fail. And that failure is not the end. It's just an opportunity to learn. So some of my greatest inspiration has come from my mistakes. So we as leaders need to get comfortable with, okay, we're going to make mistakes and we're going to adjust and change based on some of the failures and some of the success. But my greatest inspiration came after one thing failed. So taking that risk is important if you want to see growth.
Really good. You have to be willing to fail. Mm-hmm. Faith, risk involves the willingness to be able to fail. Were you going to say something?
I was going to say, I think that goes with empowering others. You have to, when you empower them, you are actually allowing them to take a risk and fail, but you're going to be there to be the support to help them, not let that crush them. Yes. And so maybe it's not always the lead pastor wanting to take the risk. So maybe someone on your team brings an idea that you've never done. Allow them to take that risk and be an encourager of that for them to step out in faith.
That's so good. And the key phrase there is something you've never done. Yeah. If we keep doing the same thing we've always done, we're going to get the same results we've always gotten. Yeah. You have to be able to willing to take risks and do something new if you want to see something new happen. That's really good. So push authority and decision-making away and down. Be willing to take risks. Our third one
is always have a Timothy or several who you are raising up. We need to have someone coming behind us that we're pouring into. When you have a Timothy, and that's just a young person, male or female, that you are raising up, I think we need to use Paul as an example of what he did with Timothy. And the first thing is he recognized the call. There's a couple of scriptures where you see that he specifically reminded Timothy that this was when the laying on of hands by the elders, they recognized the call. They empowered him in that. And so we need to see Timothy's in our church, and we need to recognize the call of God, and we need to lay hands. We need to press into that and confirm that in their life. We need to be the ones that say, no, we're going to lay hands on this. We recognize God's call. We're going to pray with you. We're going to help you become all that God has called you to be. And so I think that it's important that we recognize their call to ministry. The other thing that Paul was so good at is he was good at speaking to Timothy's weaknesses in a way that called him up and encouraged him instead of discouraged him or destroyed him. People that are younger they are going to have weaknesses. Come on, I'm older and I still have weaknesses. Amen. Right? But I need someone who can speak to my weakness in a way that it calls me up. And you can see how Paul did that to Timothy when he would say, don't let anyone despise you because of your youth. His youth, Timothy saw that as a weakness. And he spoke, don't do that, but set an example. And he was also timid. He said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, of timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. Speak to their weakness, but encourage them and strengthen them. Say, no, that is not, it may be a weakness, but it is not a limitation. God can use you, and so it's really important as we're bringing Timothy's up that we speak to their weaknesses. Don't ignore it, but speak to it in a way that brings life and encourages them. And then thirdly, we have to teach them, and I think the biggest thing that we have to teach right now is intergenerational communication. How do the different generations communicate to each other? And you can read that, Paul told Timothy how to do that. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. He told him how to communicate between the generations. And we need to make sure as we're bringing up Timothy's that we're doing that. We need to teach the youngers how to speak to the olders how to speak to the youngers. And the way that it is, when you are younger and you need to speak, you're leading people who are older than you, speak to them with respect and honor. Respect and honor. And then older generation, if you need to speak to a younger, you come to them as a peer. That's what brothers are. They're peers. They are co-laborers. They're working together. It's not to put the hammer down and I'm going to show you how to do this and I'm going to. No, come and strengthen them and speak to them, empower them. And so it's just really important that we're looking for the Timothys. Because they're out there, and they need someone else to recognize what they're already feeling God doing in their life and calling them. And so make sure that we have our eyes open. If you don't have a Timothy, can I tell you, start praying?
Amen.
There
Amen.
Is a young man or a young woman that is a volunteer, that is there, that is faithful. And just ask God, open up my eyes. Or maybe they're in the background, but they need to be called forward. They need to be encouraged to step out in what God has called them to do. It's so vital that we don't leave a gap because we will not always be in the positions
That's
we are
good.
In.
That's good.
And so we need to make sure we have someone to pass the baton to so that it doesn't fall.
That's good.
And it has to be two ways. There has to be someone to hand it to, and then there has to be someone that lets go and allows those Timothys to raise up and to actually walk, and that's where the empowerment comes hand in hand.
Good leadership starts well, they do well, and they end well. Yeah. And ending well means that there should be always a transitional plan. Pastor Choco has taught me this, that he comes in with his position thinking about what would his transitional plan be. So having that Timothy is so important when it comes to leadership because you're ending well.
Yep. And it's got to be someone there, but then you can't. You don't ever see in a race where two people are holding the same baton trying to run forever.
Yes.
So at some point, you got to let go.
Yes.
Push authority and decision-making away and down. Be willing to take a risk. Always have a Timothy who you're raising up. And our fourth one.
Number four is never get too big to disciple people. Never get too big to disciple people. Our mandate as pastors and leaders is to disciple and disciple people and not make admirers or followers. We've been called to disciple, and to disciple, we need to be intentional. Recently, I got a group text with my youth pastor and a youth saying, hey, pastors, I would love to learn about reading the Bible. I would love to meet with you. And immediately, I looked at my calendar, trying to find a moment when I can sit down with the individual, and I text them, okay, at 10 a.m. in the morning, we'll have some coffee, and we'll have a discipleship moment. I did it for two reasons. Number one, to show the youth that I'm not too big, I'm the lead pastor, but I'm still going to sit with you if you ask. That's just my mandate. If you ask for a meeting, I'm going to sit down, and we're going to talk. And number two, to model to my leaders that discipleship is important. that you want to sit down with people and make sure that you're teaching them. Because discipleship at its purest form is learning. And I have this idea that it takes two. There's two things that you could benefit when it comes to discipleship. Number one, be intentional. I have on my notepad, on my phone, I have names of my pastors, my associate pastors, and leaders. Whenever I see something good that they do, I write it down so that when I have a moment to talk to them, I'll let them know, hey, you did this that moment, and that was wonderful. But whenever I see something that requires feedback, something that I want to encourage, what I do is I write it down to make sure that the next time we meet, that I address it. Because what you don't disciple continues to develop. You affirm what you don't like when you don't talk about it. So I make sure, okay, I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to write this down, and I'm going to correct it. I'm going to speak on it. Because what you don't disciple, you continue to develop. The second thing is opportunity. There are moments where you see something happening in your leadership, something comes up, and there's an opportunity for you to disciple. For me, I'm a believer that if you don't do it right away, it'll continue to fester. I'll give you an example. It happened this past Sunday. The move of God was happening at the church, and a lady who I know has the gift of prophecy. I know because I've seen God use her, and God has spoken to her through her, and I know she had the gift of prophecy. In the emotion, because we're human, in the emotion, she runs on stage and starts prophesying. I hear what she's saying, and it is prophetic, because God literally said those exact same words right before I came into the altar, into the stage. So I knew it was prophetic. I gave her the microphone. Normally, I don't do that. But I gave her the microphone. She prophesies. She comes down. Five minutes goes on. The move of God is still there. Another lady who I know also has the gift of prophecy comes up to the altar with her Bible. And I said, this is a problem. They're moving in their gifts. They're prophets. They have a word, but I need to disciple this. As soon as they came down and people are praying, the move of God is happening, I go to my assistant. I said, tell those two ladies that I want to meet with them right away. So as soon as I finished preaching, came out down, I met with them. It was an opportunity for me to disciple them. And that's the problem with a lot of us leaders, that when we see something that we don't like, we don't have it, or we don't handle it right away. We need to be intentional, writing it down and finding an opportunity. So I spoke to them and I said, hey, listen, I affirm them. You guys are prophets. I know that God speaks to you because you've spoken to me. But there's an order of things. They both responded really well, and I set my expectations for them to know I discipled them. If I would have not discipled them, what would have happened is that would continue on and continue on. And then I'm getting mad. And I'm blaming, I'm upset with people for something that I'm not willing to address. Because a lot of times it's not the people that annoy us, it's the fact that we can't confront people, that we can't disciple them. And for me, this is how I am. When it comes to discipling people, I am responsible, number one, for the intention. I have the right intention, I'm going to love on them. And number two, I'm responsible for the delivery, how I'm going to deliver it. I am not responsible for their emotions and how they receive it. If they're upset, then I let them know, please give me some feedback and I'll correct. But I'm just trying to disciple you. I'm being intentional. This is an opportunity of growth, and I have the right heart for it. And that's how I disciple people.
It's really good. Really good. Really practical. Those problems do just get worse if you don't deal with them. Yeah. I think sometimes we want to, out of timidity, over-spiritualize it and just say, I'm going to pray about it, but it doesn't go away. We have to address it. It's like the TSA. If you see something, say something. You got to deal with it.
So good.
All right, number five. Fill your communication with 70% inspiration and 30% information. These are not hard, fast rules. I did not find them somewhere. They are the general idea that we need to communicate clearly. We need to give people information. Clarity is kindness. They want to know, what do you expect? What do you mean? How are you saying it? All of those things. But even more than that, they need inspiration. As a leader, our job is to inspire people into action, whether that's our staff, whether that's a volunteer, whether that's in our preaching, whatever it is, any person, we're providing communication through information, but we're also inspiring them. We want them to see the why behind what we're saying. I want to give a couple practical examples. We are growing in our kids' ministry. We have a need for more classroom space, a need for new materials and practical things like that. I can get up and I can communicate the information. I can say, we need this. We need more volunteers. If we don't have more volunteers, we can't open the new classroom. We need this for the budget. We need these new signs. And that might stir a few people into action. Hopefully, some of those people who love the Lord will just say, that's enough for me. But for most people, I need to get up with not just information, I need vision. I need to say, we have a vision to reach the next generation. At Hope Culture Kids, our mission statement for the kids is that we raise up the next Spirit-filled generation. And we want to see them grow in Christ. We want to see them have great experiences, a safe place where they can encounter God and build relationships with each other, just like we're doing in service. And we cast vision for it. We say, in 2023, we want to open a new classroom because we believe that we're going to fill that new classroom. We believe we're going to reach more kids than we ever have before. They're going to invite their friends. More families are going to be coming because the church is growing and God is moving. They're going to, and you know, we cast vision with it. At the end of the vision, you practically say, and we believe God's going to provide for that. We believe you are the provision for that, that he's already in this house provided for that. We have people who we know can volunteer. We have people we know who can give towards it. We have all of these things right here. God can answer this prayer by us simply saying yes. Do you see how that moves differently than saying we have a need? Yeah. It's different than if you don't serve, we don't have kids ministry. No, if you serve, we're reaching the next generation. It's two different things. We need information, but we need inspiration. Yeah. We need vision. We need to tell people why we're doing what we're doing. That's not just kids ministry. That's any area. Any communication you're having, give them what they need to know, and then give them why they need to know it. So good. Tell them the reason behind it. Because you know, and you might assume they know, but they don't know. Yeah. They hear the words you're saying. Some of them will put together the meaning behind it. But lay it out. Why are we asking what we're asking? In fact, we don't do announcements at our church. We don't do announcements. We do highlights. So good. It's the same thing. It's rebranded. But internally, that helps us think about it different. I'm not just announcing things. I'm not just giving you dates and details. I'm highlighting opportunities for you to connect to the church and highlighting what God is already doing. I'm showing you how you can be involved in the life and body of the church. So we do that intentionally so that when we meet as a staff, when we meet as a team, we're thinking through what are the things we're highlighting, not just what information needs to get out to people. It changes everything. How have you guys experienced speaking with vision?
I wouldn't communicate something that I haven't bought into. Because a lot of times there's a need, a lot of times there's something that we do need to communicate, but I won't speak into something that I am not 100%. So the issue is, first, you need to be inspired before you inspire others. Because you can't expect somebody to buy into something that you have not bought into. And sometimes our attitude, our lack of faith, sometimes our, you know, we're pastors and we see things at a 360 degree area. But in reality is, you're the first person that's communicating. You're the first person that needs to be inspired. So I won't communicate something that I haven't been inspired personally from.
Really, really good. Do you want to add anything?
No, I was just going to say this. Basically the same thing that you're talking about. Letting them know how they can be an answer to prayer puts value on them instead of an expectation or a demand. It's like, you get to be a part of this. You get to be an answer to prayer. God has the ability to use you in this instead of, hey, I need, you got to do this. That demand is very different than allowing the invitation for them to be a part of what God is already doing.
And when you invite them, you're inviting them into winning. I know we don't like to think of winning and losing too much, but you're inviting them into success. You're inviting them into God's moving. You're inviting them into seeing the mission and vision fulfilled. When you're just communicating information, sometimes you're actually asking them to help you not be a losing team. You're saying, guys, we will fail if you don't help, instead of saying, help us and we will see what we want to see. That's great. Those are our five best practices. We want to open it up for a few minutes for questions on leadership.
anyone.
Does anybody have any questions on the blanks? We went very fast through in the beginning, very quickly through.
We need slide number 2, Pastor Eric, if we can get that, for some blanks. Is that right? To fill in the blanks.
To establish and maintain a healthy church. This one? Or
one before this one. I think we got that. Yeah, I think that's right. Zach's asleep at the wheel. There's a question.
My question is about the Timothy. Those of us who are younger, if we don't work in youth and kidmin, is it okay to have a Timothy who is older than you but younger in the spirit?
I think absolutely. I've said this before, age doesn't equal maturity, and that can be natural maturity or spiritual maturity, because depending on when they came into serving the Lord and knowing the Lord, it's all different. So I think that it's very, I think that's a possibility. I think also sometimes if we're younger and we're in like a different position, lead role or evangelist, and we don't have anybody to mentor us in that role, look outside of your church. I mean, this is what the Illinois district does. And so there is somewhere here that you can find someone who can mentor you and someone that you can mentor. So I think that, yes, the answer will be yes.
Quick question. Taking risks. When we start talking about taking risks, you know, sometimes we get into this mode of just staying quota, just doing quota, meaning that we're not going to step outside of that. Sometimes people get a little stale, and they get into a position where they don't want to take risks. How do you push people past what's normal or what seems to be routine? How do you push them past that?
That's really, really good. Keep casting vision. If you are feeling stuck, the people don't want to change. I think, you know, Pastor Roy and Pastor Phil talked about this on the tour, for those of us who are there, that we don't lead people to change the right way a lot of times. We don't have a good enough picture of what they're leaving behind and what we're calling them to. Because what we're comfortable with, we'd rather stay in. And so we need a bigger picture and to understand that the risk is worth it if we can get there together. So one, you need a compelling vision of why it's worth it. And then secondly, you need to help increase their faith and remind them why faith is an important thing. Talk about how without faith, it's impossible to please God. And as a church, we want to constantly be pleasing God. And we think God is pleased with what we've done, what he's called us to. We've been faithful with it, but that doesn't end. It's an ongoing process of stewarding what he's currently giving us. And stewardship looks like reproducing. So,
can I just say, I think also is setting them to know that, hey, it's called growing pains. And so, yes, we're going to take this risk, and it might be uncomfortable. It might hurt our convenience, but that's what it costs for growing. They're called growing pains, and it's, in the end, it's very beneficial, even though it's uncomfortable.
Can I ask a question? So can you guys talk about when you're trying to identify someone that you can grow up, train up, mentor, be that Timothy, it's difficult sometimes to identify those people. What are the qualities that you're looking for, that because you're calling them up to be something that they aren't currently? So what are you looking for inside them to know that's the person that we need to, that's going to assume leadership? That's a great
question. I think the first things that I'm looking for is, are they faithful and are they teachable?
That's it.
And do they have the call? Like, if they are faithful to where they're serving now and they have a teachable spirit, then that automatically for me is someone I want to pour into and to raise up. And then as you're seeing those things, then, okay, now let's define and refine the call of God on your life. You need to spend time with them to really be able to define what the call is. Because sometimes those that are called will be faithful in areas that they're not really called to. They just have a heart to serve, and they just want to be a part, so they'll go anywhere. So I think if you can spend some time and really pull out those things to see really what that calling is.
For me, I have no problem testing them. So if there's someone that I see that has potential in an area, I don't have a problem testing them. So I'll give them a small assignment. Hey, well, do this. And how they respond and how they do it, then that'll tell me, okay, they're ready, and then they need a little bit more time. So don't be afraid to test some of your leaders and giving them an assignment that you have or something that you do and give it to them. And eventually they may fail, they may not do so well, but then it'll tell you where they are so that way you can pour into them.
That's really good. The only last thing I would add is prayer matters in this process. Look for those characteristics, take risks on those people, see how they respond to it, but also just pray. God, we know that we can see what we see, but you look at the heart. Who are you wanting me to invest my time and energy into? And you'll be surprised how often somebody just comes to mind.